In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is the best part. For me, this is the best part of the book about Father Bucci. Father Bucci was a character. Father Bucci was an amazing man who, he's the last priest that knew Luisa. And when you look into Father Bucci's eyes, there was always a twinkle, always a, he was serious. But at the same time, he wouldn't take any gruff from anyone who misunderstood Luisa. He was very, very serious. I mean, he would get, I heard him a number of times trying to help people, and they couldn't listen. They couldn't hear him. They had their own idea, and that was the truth. That was very sad for Father Bucci. He would he was always telling us about Luisa. He looked in Luisa's eyes, and I remember asking him what was her color of Luisa's eyes, and he said, they were, he says, think of being in the piazza of St. Peter's Basilica and look up at the sky at the dome and look at a clear day at high noon, the color of the sky. He says that was Luisa's eyes. She had, he said that looking at Luisa, you could see almost heaven. I mean, it was not earthly, he said. There was a depth in her eyes, a depth in the beauty of her eyes that he said, you just stare at her. He's just like, whoa, who is this person? You know, Luisa. So when I think about Father Bucci, his birthday's coming up, as a matter of fact, on June 15th. And remember him at Mass. Offer your Mass, offer your Holy Communion for him, as Jesus told Luisa. When St. Aloysius, his feast day came up, Luisa said, I want to offer my communion. Is that okay, Jesus? And he said, this is the greatest gift that you can give a soul, uniting that soul to Jesus with you, as you receive, to have the soul receive with you in heaven. And he says, that's the greatest. It's like doubling the heaven for that saint. So this is, an interesting thought that, especially on the 15th, remember that today is my Father Bucci. Didn't know him, but they were the same type of personality. My spiritual director, Father Trevasi, he died on this day, and so did my mom. My mom died on this day, and it's a great day. It's a beautiful day, knowing that they now are in the presence of God. You know, with great people like Father Bucci. So Father Bucci was a member of the Ecclesiastical Diocesan Tribunal for the Cause of Luisa Picaretta and the Promoter of the Faith. See, that name was changed. It used to be the Devil's Advocate. They would throw things at him. What about this and what about that? And the Devil's Advocate he'd go through and he would prove that wasn't against the faith. So it changed from the Devil's Advocate to the Promoter of the Faith. He was the co-founder of the Pious Association, Luisa Picaretta, the Little Children of the Holy Divine Will. So because of his knowledge of Luisa and his study, he had a big role in beginning the cause of Luisa that's located in Corrado, Italy. Our Lady, La Santa Maria Greca, protectress of Corrado, has shown a great light as Padre Bucci passed away on the eve of the feast of Saint Santa Maria Greca, the church in which Luisa is buried, the place of the second miraculous image from heaven. And there's two images of heaven, the church tells us, that came from heaven about Our Lady. One is, as we know, Our Lady of Guadalupe, where Juan Diego received this image on his tilma. And the second is Corrado, Italy, Our Lady of the Greca Church. Our Lady of the Greek Church. Each tower, there was 12 towers, you know, that surrounded the town to protect the town from the enemy. And one of the towers was the Greek Tower. And that's where this miraculous image of Our Lady appeared on a table. And if you look at the image, there's four things that are very important on that image. Not the angels, not the colors, but the crown of Mary, making her queen of heaven and earth, the globe that Jesus holds onto, proving that he is the king of the earth, the staff, the crozier that Our Lady holds onto is the papal crozier, and then finally the bell. And the bell represents Louisa. So what you see in this image is what is going to come. And this is on the floor of Our Lady of the Greca Church. When you walk in, it's right there on the floor. And it proves that the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary, bring about a new beginning for humanity. This holding on to the crozier of the Pope. I mean, there's one picture of John Paul II with a crozier, with the three crosses. A cardinal has two crosses, you know. The Pope has three. And this is to prove what is coming. Louisa is the bell, and Jesus says, look, again, this was in the 1500s that it appeared. But the bell, Jesus says, you are the bell, Louisa, that I will ring continuously to bring all humanity into the divine will. And he says, this, you're going to be ringing continuously until everyone is in the kingdom. This is the miraculous image, the second miraculous image from heaven. And the funeral mass was offered in Bari on her feast day, on Our Lady of the Greca Church feast day. So you can see how God, in his mysterious way, always brings about truth, always brings about beauty. In everything that's planned, our God is working, even in our own lives. And that's what you're going to see. When we get to heaven, we're going to thank God for everything that we've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God is going to show us how he used every situation, even that which is not good, to wake us up, to make us become aware that the life on earth is to prepare ourselves for eternity. And, you know, Father Bucci was really good at that. He could really get right to the point. And you'll hear about this as we read. So Father Bucci, Giuseppe Bucci, Father Bernardo Giuseppe Bucci, was born in Corrado on June 15th. His birthday's coming up, 1935. In 1955, he entered the novitiate of the Capuchin Friars in the province of Lecca and completed his philosophical studies at Sorano. On the 14th of March, 1964, he became a priest. He was ordained. That was the same year that I went into the seminary, at 14, 1964. So in the Capuchin Church of Trigenagno, he was ordained a priest by Archbishop of Bari. So there was always this connection. He became a priest in 64, and I went into the seminary in 64. He got a kick out of how God works. Everything works according to God's plan. So Father Bernardo Bucci, and see, that's my first name too. It's funny, you know. So Bucci is a nephew of Rosaria Bucci, who took care of Louisa for 40 years. And he visited the house of Louisa between 1942 and 1947. The last 5 years of Louisa's life. Now, you have to remember the last 9 years of Louisa's life. She had just left the convent in 1938 and moved into that used to be the rectory of Our Lady of the Greca Church. No, excuse me. Our Lady of, no, it's not Our Lady. Saint, what's his name? Saint Cataldo was a Italian bishop who was shipwrecked off the coast and is the patron of Corrado. Saint Cataldo. So when you go to Corrado, when you visit Associazione Luisa Picaretta, down the street as you walk, that where the fish market is, that was where the church used to be, and now it's a parking lot. But one day, because Jesus said to Luisa, or Luisa said to Jesus, one day, that the church will be reconstructed, and she promises and she swears that she will come back from heaven to teach the divine will every month to those who want it. So we're going to see some things that are going to be really astonishing. A lot of the things that are in the Book of Heaven, you look at it and you go, you know, a lot has got to change before all this happens, and a lot is changing. That's what we have to understand. Things of heaven are very, very close, and God is going to have his way. God's going to bring about what he has planned. So the last 5 years of Luisa's life, when Father Bucci was a child, he remembered his visit to Luisa when he was a child. So here what we see is a Father Bucci talking to us about Luisa, and he would talk to us how Luisa never showed any signs of suffering. She was always pleasant. She was always peaceful. She was always very calm. And it was just really, this is what we want to be, even amid all the craziness that's going on around us. Okay, so he says, I, Father Bucci, was surprised upon seeing the lunch of Luisa consisted of 5 or 6 pasta-shaped little ears. And that's the pasta of Corrado. We brought back bags of this, and every now and then, when we have a celebration, we eat the little ears, the little pasta, little the shape of the little ears, which is a typical food for Puglia, and with a few grapes, which Father Bucci said I myself brought an hour before. Everything was placed on a little plate after my aunt put grated cheese on it and told me, take it to Luisa. So his aunt wanted to let Father Bucci experience a miracle. So he says, surprised at the strange meal, I brought the food to the little room of Luisa. She welcomed me with a smile and placed the little plate appropriate on the bed table, made the sign of the cross, and began to eat. Feeling my state of amazement, Luisa smiled at me again and then took a grape and offered it to Father Bucci. So here she goes, here, you take one. Because when Luisa had finished her lunch, so to speak, she rang a little bell, and soon my aunt appeared carrying the little tray in her hand. So that's another miracle that Aunt Rosaria had with Luisa. Many, many times when she was with her family and not with Luisa, like having dinner or something like that, Aunt Rosaria would get up and run out of the room. And they said, you know, they thought she was crazy. But she could hear the bell ringing. Whenever Luisa needed her, she could hear it. And she would immediately go to be with Luisa, to help Luisa. So this little bell, again, this is why everybody should have a little bell, because Jesus says, and get a bell exercised. The bells of the church are exercised. And what it does is the demons have to obey. See, it's 7 prayers. It's 7 psalms that the priest prays for that little exorcism. And the demons have to obey what the priest says. And with this exorcism, as soon as they hear one ding, they know, they hear all those words. They know this is a command to them when the bell rings. Jesus, and you're supposed to say, Jesus, help us when the bell is rung. So again, this is another great blessing. You have exercise salt, exercise oil, exercise water, and you can have exercise bells. It's really, we're going to go into some deep and difficult times, and we need all the strength and protection of the church through the sacraments and sacramentals. So she says, take this to Luisa. So he goes up and she smiled and placed made the sign of the cross and began to eat. Feeling my amazement, she smiled at me again and took the grape and offered it to me. When Luisa finished her lunch, so to speak, this is Father Bucci's humor, she rang the little bell, and soon my aunt appeared carrying a little tray in her hand and began the scene in which I will never be able to forget. Luisa brought up everything in a strange way. So he says she didn't throw up. It just, everything came out of her mouth. She set it down and another thing came out. She set it down. Everything that she chewed and swallowed, she brought up and put on the plate. He witnessed this. Luisa brought everything up in a strange way. I say this because I felt no repugnance. There was no vomiting, But on the contrary, listen to this. A strange fragrance diffused. He says it was a beautiful aroma that was coming from Louisa as the food came out of her mouth, the crackers and the pasta and the cheese and the grapes. I felt no repugnance. On the contrary, a strange fragrance diffused the room. Then removing the little bed table, he says, my aunt closed the shutters and said, come, Pepe Prepioni, come, little one. Let us go eat, for Louisa has to sleep. My aunt brought to the table the food brought up by Louisa, and there it remained during our lunch. Now, Father Bucci said, it looked delicious. He said, I just wanted to devour that food. It looked so beautiful. It looked so heavenly. He says, I counted the pasta, and there were six, and all the grapes, whole and bright. He says they were glistening, precisely 11. And he said that this food was like recreated, like the Lord recreated this food coming out of Louisa. I think very symbolic of the first bread, the bread of the divine will that Jesus breathed into Louisa. Father Bucci was sent to the International College in Rome, and he specialized in missionary theology. And that's another thing. My spiritual director said to me, he said, you know, you don't have, it's kind of funny how everything works out. He says, you really don't have a diocesan spirit. He says, you have more of a missionary spirit. And I looked at him and I said, but I'm in the diocesan seminary. And he just says, well, we'll see. And that's what I said to Archbishop Cassati, who was my spiritual director's best friend. They were ordained together. And I said that to him, and he just smiled, because this is the mission of missions, Jesus says, the divine will. So when he returned to the province, he was appointed spiritual director of the seminary. He studied for a licentiate and a doctorate and taking a course in ecumenical faculty at St. Nicholas in Bari, where at the same time, in 1972, he acquired the degree in literature. As co-founder, see, this is so important. You can see how he pushed this understanding of this association, approved association, to begin. See, this was the beginning of everything for Louisa, the association. That's why we're going to see in the future the importance of the association. The association is very important worldwide. So as co-founder with Sister Assunta of the Association of Divine Will, he spent many years as the spiritual advisor of the association that was canonically erected in Corrado on March 4th, 1987. So here on the death of the anniversary of the death of Louisa, her entrance into heaven, the association was canonically erected. I mean, God has everything planned perfectly. So it says he is currently a member of the Tribunal for the Cause of the Beatification of the Servant of God, Louisa Picaretta. That was 20 years ago, which was opened on the Feast of Christ the King. Now think about it. Out of all the days for Louisa's cause to begin, the church in its wisdom chose the Feast of Christ the King. Now, in the writings of Louisa in volume 26, I think it's 26 or 24, the Pius XI, right after Pius X, I think it was Pius XI, had the Feast of Christ the King. And Jesus says, the church in its wisdom knows that this Feast of Christ the King must happen to get the world ready for Christ the King, who's going to bring the divine will to the world. So think about it. In the wisdom of the church, directed by the Holy Spirit, the cause began without even reading what Jesus said about the Feast of Christ the King. It was to prepare the world for the great feast that's coming of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. So, I mean, it's a miracle to watch all that is happening, how God is so amazing. He does everything perfectly. He does everything perfectly. So it says, he is currently a member of the tribunal, which opened in the Feast of Christ the King in 1994 in the main church, or the mother church of Corrado, by Archbishop Camarlo Cassati, now emeritus. He is now gone to be with all the faithful in heaven. And this is Father Bucci. He, as role of promoter of the faith, he's the one explaining this to her. So the prophecy of Luisa about Father Bucci. So this is something that's important. Many, many families have vocations and they don't know it. And sometimes what happens is someone will go to the seminary and he won't have a vocation or isn't ordained. But later on in his family, there will be a son or a grandson that will have a vocation. And this is what happens here. My family, deeply religious, wanted one of us boys to be a priest. Given that my father's branch of the family had been richly endowed with priests, and a cousin of my mother's was vicar general of the Diocese of Salerno at the time of the famous bishop there. My mother had kept up correspondence with cousin with whom we were not personally acquainted. I only remember that she spoke enthusiastically about him, and the eyes of the family were focused on my brother, Augustino, a tidy, well-educated, hardworking, and reserved boy. Okay. He was also the boy that Luisa brought back from the dead. His mother and father went to a theater entertainment. And while they were there, the boy died at home. And when the mother came home, she found the dead baby, cold, blue, stiff, dead as a doornail. And she took the baby, ran to Luisa, went to Luisa's house, put the baby in Luisa's arms, and fell to the floor weeping. And Luisa, in her calmness, said, "Feed him, he's hungry." And the boy was alive. That was one of the people that Luisa brought back to life. And that's the thing that we're going to see things that are going to astonish all of us, really. With this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to the earth, especially through the priesthood. The priesthood is going to, Jesus tells us this, he's going to bring everyone back to the church through the holy priesthood. The miracles that are going to come through the priests are going to basically bring everyone to wanting to be Catholic. So here we're looking at Father Bucci's brother who was brought back to life. And she says, my Aunt Rosaria was very pleased when my brother expressed the wish to enter the seminary. The opinion of our parish priest, Father Cataldo, he was named after the saint of Corrado, the protector of Corrado, Father Saint Cataldo, and again, an Irish bishop, which I think is just, that's how God is working. He's bringing everyone to Corrado. And venerable of holy memory was very flattering. His clothes were prepared. My aunt prepared a cassock with lace, borders, everything was ready for my brother to enter the seminary at Biscaglia. And that's where Father Pignatelli was from. So when I got to get to, he was the postulator of the cause of St. Honorable de Francia. And I was so surprised at his enthusiastic desire for Luisa when I talked to him, as being the postulator for the cause of St. Honorable de Francia. And it's because he was born in the same town and this seminary that was there, Biscaglia. And this is something that really is, again, God has everything planned. How could the postulator of the cause know Luisa and promote this great saint, St. Honorable de Francia, and love Luisa? I remember after he brought me right up. I was, like I said, I was like 30 feet from the Pope at the canonization. And after the canonization, he said to me, he says, Father Nibale, done. He says, now Luisa, he says. So he was a great follower. He loved the cause. As a matter of fact, we gave him the writings of Luisa about St. Honorable de Francia. And he's the one that had the picture. If you go to this Rogationist church, St. Anthony's church in Rome, where they stay, this is their headquarters. Go into the church and in the alcove, you will see the beauty. He says, this is from the writings of Luisa that he grew to love. He grew to devour. And that's the thing that is so beautiful. Everything fits together. And that's what we're going to be so astonished. Everyone is affected. See, when you pray the rounds, especially the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption that Jesus taught Louisa, when you pray the rounds, the world is changing. Your family is changing. The universe is changing. Why? Sanctification is coming. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. We prayed for 2,000 years. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what's happening. So he says, okay, however, an unexpected event then occurred, which upset everything. See, now even being upset about something is okay. God is going to make us aware. That's why we got to be peaceful in all situations. And sometimes it's really difficult to be peaceful, especially when somebody's like scratching the board with their nails constantly. And you're going, would you please stop it? Anyways, an unexpected event then occurred, which upset everything, so that my brother never did enter the seminary. The cause of it was Father Andre, who recommended that his brother, his pupil in the middle school, not be sent to the seminary, but that he wait until they had completed at least the fifth year of the secondary school, and he would enter the seminary directly without having been to the minor seminary. And Father Andre did not think could guarantee an adequate formation. And Aunt Rosaria was very upset at this event and even one day complained to Louisa. So again, complaining is not part of the divine will. After having spent much, my brother will not even be entering the seminary. She's complaining to Louisa. It should be said that Louisa had already previously proved silent and indifferent to the plan. Okay, that says something right there. Although Agostino diligently visited her house, and although she knew of his intentions, Louisa never gave him a word of encouragement as she had to other boys who had expressed the same wish. Louisa responded to my aunt's complaint in my presence. Okay, so Father Bucci was right there saying, Rosaria, Rosaria, you are trying to substitute God's will with your own. That's the main problem in the divine will. Many people are sure that they're right. And this is what Louisa says. You're trying to substitute God's will with your own will. The human will is very strong. The martyrdom of martyrdoms, Jesus tells Louisa, that we are called to go through is to not give life to our human will. And the first thing that gives life is I or me or mine. When those words come out, the human will is alive. The human will is in charge. Well, you don't understand. I know. Well, what do you mean? I don't understand. It's like, this is what Father Bucci, like I said before, he would not put up with it. He would just say, get out until you think clearly, get out. A lot of people got upset with Father Bucci because he was like, for example, when he was in, La Salette Church, La Salette Shrine near Boston, he was the main speaker, and he was in Italy at the time, and they had the big screen, and Father Bucci basically, you know, there was Marina was there, but I was asking questions, and he's looking at me like I'm asking simple questions, like, what is the reason why? And he looked at me and goes, you know the answer. He goes, why are you asking me this question? Like, why are you wasting my time? And I was saying that because the people, this is the questions that the people have. And I didn't say that to him. I just said, Father Bucci, what does it mean that? And he'd look at me and go, what's wrong with you? he'd go, you know the answer to this. Why are you doing this? And I said, well, this is the question the people have. And he goes, what is your question? It's not like, for example, Luisa La Santa, you know, Luisa the saint. She's not a saint like we know. Father Bucci says she is the saint of the divine will. And the church will come to that, he says. So anyways, getting back to this, you're trying to substitute God's will with your own. The Lord does not want him. And turning her eyes to me, she says, look at this one, because the Lord wants this one, not that one. Now that's going against everything that everybody said. You made this boy rise from the dead. He is so neat. He is so tidy. He is so perfect. This over here, like Father Bucci said, he was wild. He's running around the room, knocking things over. You know, she says, he's the one. Now he's calming down with here. And Aunt Rosaria was amazed to hear the words of Louisa, who said, yes, this very one who is the rebel of the family. That's Father Bucci. And he was like that. The last time I saw him, he was like that. He was just he was a lot of fun. He was really a lot of fun. In fact, I loved the street life. I was very lively and surrounded myself with poor children. My companions systematically played tyrant from school, and when they went about barefoot, smelling of the hens, the sheep, and the rabbits that were raised in their homes. Therefore, I did not work very hard at school either. I was the despair of my middle class family. My mother was a teacher and my father a municipal employee. I did not attract much importance to Luis's words. I was only in the fourth year of elementary school, and there were big social problems. The collapse of fascism, the German occupation, the schools were closed, food was scarce. I completely forgot Luis's words. After the death on March 4th, 1947, my Aunt Rosaria often thought of what Luisa had said and began to look at me inquiringly, as though she wanted to detect any signs of my inclination. So here, this is like Father Bucci would say, you know, everybody would say, Luisa, now we know, you know, you're not speaking the truth, because this one here is never going to be a priest. I mean, they were laughing at the thought that this wild one, Father Bucci, would be it. Later, to the great wonder of all, the little one, the rowdiest boy, the district of Via Andrea, entered the seminary, not the diocesan seminary, but the seraphic seminary of the friars of the Minor Capuchins of Barletta. It was 1948. A year had passed since Luisa Picadero's death. Many bet, giving my character, that my stay in the seminary would not last long and that I would be a nuisance there too. Many even criticized my mother for rashly having allowed me to enter. So here, this wild one, I mean, I've got this picture of Father Bucci. I mean, this is the last time we saw him, and he was waving to us. You know, he was just waving to us. I know who he was looking at. So he was waving and saying goodbye. But anyways, it says, many criticized my mother for rashly having allowed me to enter the seminary. So this little crazy, not crazy, but wild one became the priest. Time proved the inauspicious predictions wrong, and the townspeople began to give credit to the words of my Aunt Rosaria, and who proudly told everyone how Luisa prophesied that I would be a priest. Aunt Rosaria would say with determination, Peppino will succeed in becoming a priest. It is God's will expressed by Luisa. So here we see a prophecy of Father Bucci. And if you can get to listen to Father Bucci, he's right to the point. We've got many talks of his on the internet. He gets right to the point. He doesn't clown around. There's no time, like he would say that. There's no time to clown around. There's one way of doing this, and it has to be the way God has planned it, not your way. And that's hard for most people. That's why Jesus says many will not be able to live in the divine will, because the human will destroy that. The human will is, again, the enemy of the divine will. And that's why Jesus says, use your free will to choose what life you want to live. Do you want to live a life that is worldly, or do you want to live a life of heaven? And if you choose the life of heaven, you let everything go. If you try to figure it out with your own pea brain, you're not going to remember. You're not going to learn anything. It's got to be understanding from a divine perspective. This is why God gave us our intellect. One of the powers that he gave us, one of the three powers, our intellect. We've got to begin to see things from a divine perspective. Our memory can't be of us or what we think. It's got to be of Jesus and Mary. How did Jesus live? How did Mary live? How did they live those 30 years of silence? What did they do those 30 years of silence? That is the life that was breathed into Luisa. This life that of Jesus and Mary, this hidden life of Jesus and Mary, has to come to us. So what did we just read yesterday or the day before? The three aspects of being conceived, then being forced out of the womb, because you want to see it would, or else you'll die. And then to be swaddling clothes, to be fed by the parent, to be protected by the parent. These three stages. Where we are now is we're being forced out of our human will. Jesus is saying, I need you. He says, I want the divine will to reign in the souls who must live in my divine will. So that second stage is being forced out of the human. I know that might sound strange, but it's, you can't stay in the womb for the rest of your life. You've got to be born again. And that born again, this forcing out of the womb is the human will, what we've been living in. We were imprisoned in our mother's womb for 9 months. And then we were forced out. Why? To begin to live a life. And then we were taught, it's constantly growing. So God is asking us to become aware that we're going to use our free will to begin to choose no longer the human will, how we've been living for 6,000 years, even though we've been redeemed 2,000 years ago, but to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this hidden life of Jesus and Mary, given to us by his shedding of his blood on the cross. He redeemed us, and now he wants to sanctify us. So quotes from Father Bucci, and these quotes are really, really important. St. Francis was for his time. St. Clare was for her time. Louisa is for our time. Okay. In the new millennium, the world and the church are going to focus on Louisa Picaretta and the divine will. That was also said. That's a quote from Father Padre Pio. It's because Father Bucci was in the same order as Padre Pio. They knew each other. Louisa is not just a saint. Louisa is the saint of the divine will. Louisa's doctrines are not from earth, but are from heaven. And that's one of the things, the doctrine of heaven, just you have to understand this. This is not with earthly terms. It's with heavenly terms. You need to understand that Louisa wrote with the light of the church authority. The bishops and the clergy said, you must write this. And then Jesus said to Louisa, don't leave one word out. Don't leave one word out. It's going to help. That one word will help numerous people. Louisa is the saint of the new era. Louisa is the saint of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is always above Louisa. What's coming is the second Pentecost. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. The first Pentecost is, you know, the first Pentecost is the fruit, the strawberries, the rhubarb, the asparagus. Ah, finally, we've got food. That's the first Pentecost. Finally, the church is being given to the world. What do we have? 1 billion out of 8 billion. The divine will is coming. The second Pentecost is coming. What's going to happen is everyone, 100%, will be Catholic. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. What's coming is the new era. So we have three eras, the era of creation, the era of redemption, and the era of sanctification. And Louisa is the sanctity era. It's Louisa that Jesus breathed into. It's Louisa that Our Lady breathed into. It's the hidden life of Jesus and Mary. How did they live? How did they live? This is what we're learning from Louisa. It would be foolish for a layperson to stand at the altar and say, this is my body, as it would be for a layperson to teach the divine will. Let that sink in. Brother Bucci just said, don't Protestantize the divine will. You're going to see a great change in the priesthood. Jesus says, I'm going to reform the priesthood to make it to what I have originally planned. You're going to see great things change. Jesus said the divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. And this is why you need the priest to give it. The first bread, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, the priest is in charge. The pastor is in charge of the key to the tabernacle. It's his property, basically, given to him by the bishop who's in charge of the Eucharist. This is why with this Eucharistic revival that's coming, he's going to ask us in the divine will to participate wholly in this. I mean, the good things are coming. So the divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. All the world will become Catholic. Louisa is the starting point. Always remember this. Louisa is the starting point. His loving care to keep alive the memory of the people of our land who, with their humble daily work and the acceptance of life's sufferings, were distinguished for their love of God and neighbor was prompted by Father Bucci, our Capuchin flower, our Capuchin friar, sorry, to write these family memoirs of Luisa, nicknamed Luisa La Santa, Luisa the Saint. The interest in Luisa is worth mentioning, both because of the attention devoted today to acquiring a deeper knowledge of this mystic. See, Luisa said, Father Bucci said, she is not like the mystics of the church. This is not the same mysticism. It's a deeper mysticism that Jesus and Mary, it's the life of Jesus and Mary. And Luisa is such, since her contemplation, acceptance of physical and spiritual sufferings, she attained a remarkable intimacy with Jesus. See, when she said, I'm in my usual state, that's suffering, crucifixion, and heaven. Suffering and heaven at the same time. That's the divine will. It's Jesus redeeming and dying. Jesus redeeming and resurrecting. It's Jesus redeeming and ascending. Jesus redeeming and now sending the Holy Spirit. It's everything that you've ever wanted. And because Luis was known and visited by several of our friars who were able to communicate to her essential elements of the Franciscan spirituality, while from Luisa, they assimilated love for Jesus Christ, and a commitment in doing the will of God. Because once you start doing the will of God, you are then brought to living in the will of God. May this book, which involved Father Bucci, with such love and enthusiasm, give enjoyment to all who read it so that they will feel impelled to learn more of Luisa's spirituality and to further her beatification. She's going to be beatified. Jesus said this in volume 13. Okay, this is from Father, the provincial priest of the Friars of the Minor Capuchin in Puglia. And then we have pictures of Father Bucci. He was a character. He is a character. I can't wait to see him again. Not soon, but I can't wait to see him because I can't wait to see. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. What God has planned for humanity is a new and divine way of holiness that he's calling us to. And he's asking us, all he's asking us to do is to begin to live this fullness, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that only Luisa had. She's the one, she's the newborn, she's the firstborn of this gift. No one has this gift like her. Now, we want the fullness, but it's not here yet. Every time we do an act of the divine will, we do a human act. We're falling in and falling out, falling in and falling out. That's the sad part of where we are right now. God is waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command, and we pray that we have that holy anointing that Jesus gave to Luisa to have the invincible strength to live in the divine will and no longer live in our human will and to be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.